Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the River Church. Merry Christmas. So glad that you're here. If you have a Bible, we'll be in Luke chapter number 2. If you are new with us and never been here before, my name is Jason. I'm the location pastor here and just excited to be here with you. So I did want to let you know a couple weeks ago, we're coming to the end of our fiscal year. And we let all of the River Church know that we're running a little short on our projected spending. So we let you know about it. And what we did is we went to you and said, would you consider, we wanted 1,000 people to give $100 above their normal giving. And we asked you, would you consider that and pray about it? And so over the past week, and the total number we've had, 850 people have given to that. And we've raised over $140,000. So I just want to say thank you. Just want to say thank you for believing in us, believing that, hey, this is not about getting your money. This is about the work of the Lord. So just you doing that, we want to thank you for that. I also want to let you know here at Waterford, at all of our locations, we do every year something called Power of Three, where we'll pick a specific project or projects that need to be done. You've seen our kids over the last couple of years, our kids' room area has been completely renovated because of Power of Three. Our auditorium has been completely renovated because of Power of Three. And then this past year, as we needed a new roof over the gym, the stairs to be done, a new carpet, I just want you to know you guys have, you've given the Power of Three, and we're able to raise all of that money for that. And so just, again, just want to say thank you. We really appreciate it as we just try to honor the Lord. And so thank you very much. Again, Luke chapter number 2. How about this choir, huh? Is that pretty awesome? That's pretty great. Not that I do not enjoy older people in the choir, but to see a bunch of young people singing and praising the Lord, it just excites me. It's just a really, really cool thing. So excited for that. Thankful for our worship team. So over the last month, we have really highlighted, maybe like we've come at Christmas a little differently this year. And the theme this year is called Melee at the Manger, where we've looked at Christmas, and the goal is maybe we come and approach Christmas a little different this year to see what Christmas really is about. We kicked off the series in Revelation chapter number 12, where we have the Christmas story, but it gives us specifics. It gives us the apocalyptic Christmas story. It tells us of a woman and a child being born, and then a dragon seeking to murder that child. And we know that dragon to be Satan and the child to be Jesus. And we see the spiritual battle that goes on when we look at Christmas. And last week, as we continue to talk about the melee, the battle, we talked about the threat. Herod had to figure out whether Jesus was a threat to his kingdom and what he wanted. And it is the same thing with all of mankind. We look to Jesus and we look to Christ and go, is he a threat to my kingdom? He is. And so if we're followers of Jesus, we lay it all down, that we follow Christ and we worship him knowing that he is king. Well, today we'll take a last look at the conflict of Christmas. But to do that, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Now, the Gospel of Luke, it gives us, the story gives us details about Jesus being born. We go to verse 7. So Luke chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Here we have the birth of Jesus. And as you continue to read, you'll find that the angel of the Lord went to shepherds outside of Jerusalem. Now, shepherds were just the outcast of people, but this beautiful picture of who Jesus comes to. So the angel of the Lord comes to the shepherd, and the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. As you keep reading, you'll find that there were angels. The Bible says a multitude of angels, countless angels of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." That we come to Christmas and we do come to a place of worship and praise of Jesus, that the Prince of Peace has come. There is good news for everyone that Jesus has come to the earth. Jesus brings salvation. Now, as we keep reading through this, I want to take you to verse 21 to give you the timeline of this. We're now moving to 8 days after Jesus was born. The Bible says at the end of the eighth day, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We see Mary and Joseph were obedient to the Lord. As you read through there, you'll find that they were obedient to the law of the Old Testament. They were obedient to the Mosaic law. They had Jesus circumcised, which pointed to his salvation, actually. And they would soon take Jesus to the temple. Why? They were obedient followers of the Lord. So in verse 22, it says, when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, the timeline, what is this? Well, when you look at the Mosaic law, there was a cleansing that needed to take place. And so this would be about 40 days after Jesus was born, they made their way to the temple. Now, Bethlehem was about 5 to 6 miles from Bethlehem. So Jerusalem was 5 to 6 miles. So if you put it on cruise control on 60, you'd be there in, you know, a very short time. No, that's not true. So they made their way, and I've thought of many times that there's a young couple and they have a child, and about 40 days after they have their child, they bring them to church for the very first time. And I love looking at them because they look a little tired. I'm like, man, it's been a rough 40 days, hasn't it? But I think of Mary and Joseph and now Jesus. They're now taking, they bring Jesus to the temple. And it says, when the time came for purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. So according to Old Testament, they are being obedient. They are to bring a sacrifice. And the Bible says a pair of 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So when you read this, it seems that in the Old Testament, it says you would offer a lamb. But if you were poor and didn't have the funds to do that, you could offer a turtle dove. You could offer these things. So when you read this, it seems that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph come a poor family. And it'll also see that the wise men probably hadn't shown up by then. Why? Because the wise men, when they came, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So 40 days after, seems like the wise men still aren't there. But we see them obedient. As they come into the temple, it says in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Bible gives us specific of a man who was at the temple. So this man was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that word consolation, I just don't want you to skip by, that which is consoling, comfort, encouraging. He was looking for the encouragement. He was looking for the comfort to come. Now, when I think about consolation, the thing that comes to mind is like now in our culture, we have a consolation prize. It's for those who fail and finish like last. They need a comfort because they're so devastated, right? That's a consolation prize. So when we think about consolation here, he is waiting for the one who will come and comfort, who will console, who would encourage. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What I think is so interesting here, and a pastor says it well, he said, there is a mysterious communication of divine knowledge to those who walk in quiet, contemplative fellowship with God. And here we see a man, the Bible says, a godly man filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And the Lord says, you are going to see the Lord's Christ before you die. So he would come to the temple. And here it says, him being led by the Spirit, he comes. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and sang a Christmas song. This is legit. This is he comes, and when you read this, he gives this poem. He comes and brings a Christmas song. Now, this is different than us. In our culture, 40 days before Christmas is when we start singing Christmas songs. And the day after, we cut it off and won't listen to it again. In the Bible, they were singing Christmas songs 40 days after Jesus was born. He is celebrating the birth of the Messiah. And here's the song. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation. And I love this line because when he looks to the child being led by the Spirit, he says, this is the salvation of the Lord. He's not saying it's going to be, it's coming. Here's the salvation. Here is Christ. Just as last week, the wise men came and they said, we are looking for the king, not the future king, not so good. Now the king. This is who Jesus is. So Simeon once said, his hope filled, his joy complete, his heart at peace, and now he was content to die because he had seen God's salvation. He goes on to say, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Here we have the beautiful joy of Christmas. The Prince of Peace has come. And we come to Christmas, and those of us who know the Lord, it is this wonderful refocus on Christ's coming that we're so thankful for. And you may say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought you said you're going to talk about conflict this morning. Well, Simeon's not done talking. And now look at the next verse. He said, his father and his mother, Mary and Joseph, marveled at what he said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, which again is interesting. Mary and Joseph are there, and he turns to Mary and is going to give her this very difficult, heavy passage. Some say, why didn't he look at Joseph too? Why just to Mary? Well, when you read the Gospels, you find that later on, we don't see Joseph. We don't see Joseph at the cross. We see Mary at the cross. Many think Joseph must have died. And so here, Simeon speaks directly to the mother on the great conflict that is going to happen. 40-day-old Jesus, wonderful, Prince of Peace, but now he speaks into the conflict. He says, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed or a sign spoken against. It says a sword will pierce through your own soul, Mary. And he says, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. See, Christmas, we have the peace of the Lord, but we also have the conflict. Christmas, we have the wonderful blessing, the truth that Jesus came to earth, but we also have the truth that when we think about the peace of the Lord, the truth is the Bible says there is no peace without conflict. There is no peace without the difficulty that's ahead. This week, I don't know how you guys do Christmas shopping. Some of you probably are done in June. You know, any of you in here, like that's what you do? There are those of us, we don't wait till June. We wait till like, okay, I got like 9 days. Let's do this. And so Monday was my day. Monday, like I had my list. was I was going to get everything done. It was my day of shopping. My wife's a teacher. She was at school. My son's at school. Monday's my day off. And I'm like, I'm in. This is my shopping day. And so I got up that morning. I went to the gym. I came home. I got out of my truck. And when I stepped out of my truck, my knee decided not to unlock. I got on my truck and I'm like, hey, you need, and it wouldn't bend. It stuck. And so I would try. I have my knee's in bad shape, but like, this is something new. I was like, what? Okay. I couldn't get it to unlock. And so I walked into the house doing this and I sat down and go, okay, this, how, hey, can you, excuse me? Like, I got stuff to do today. And it wouldn't unlock. And I'm like, I got to go shopping. So I got in my truck and went to Great Lakes Crossing and walked around Great Lakes Crossing like this. Those chairs in the middle, they're wonderful things, I will tell you. I would stop and sit down in the chair like I'm sweating going, oh man, I do not want to be, I need to go, I got to do this. And it was just, man, I was really conflicted because my knee was just this. It was hurting so bad, and I would like, hey, maybe now you can, and it just was. So I went home, and I was like, oh, man. I went to bed that night, woke up that morning, and it was like, hey, there you are. It just unlocked, right? And some of you out there going, now you know what it feels like, Pastor. I see some of you. Uh-huh. But I was like, okay, I can walk again. This is really good. So I went shopping on Thursday. Can I tell you, really? It was one of the most peaceful times of shopping I have ever had. Walking around, because I literally was going, oh, I can walk. I was just, I can move. It really was. It was from the conflict. I looked back and had such a peace because of the conflict. It helped me see. Here in the passage speaking on Christmas, there's a very important truth here. Because there are people who come, they come maybe once in a while to church, and they hear this message of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That as you read the passage, that joy to the world, peace has come to mankind. And they come in here and they hear that and they leave and they walk out the door and go, that's not how I feel. And they see the hurt and the pain and there's sickness and there's brokenness and inside their heart and guilt and struggle and all of these things. They have all of this conflict. And many times they go, well, if that's what they say Christianity is, I don't see peace, so I'm out. But when the Bible speaks of peace, it doesn't ignore the conflict. It actually tells us, if we are to truly receive the peace of the Lord, we must look to the conflict. See, Simeon knew through the Holy Spirit that this baby came heading toward conflict. The baby came, when you look at Galatians chapter 4, it says this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. The plan was for God to send his only begotten son, but the plan was conflict. That's the only way peace was going to come. The conflict, well, Simeon says it. He says, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel for a sign that is opposed. Christ comes and he goes to the cross. The plan the whole time for it was for him to go to the cross, that only by the cross may we receive God's true peace. Colossians 1:20 says it like this, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. Listen, it says this, making peace, how? By the blood of his cross. See, if you don't see the conflict, you're going to miss the peace. And when I think of this conflict, I think of those of us who are Christians, our focus, we look to the cross of Jesus. It's where our eyes must stay. It reminds me of a song we used to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Maybe you remember this one. In one of the verses, it says, "The cross before me and the world behind me." It's this image that those of us who know Christ, we see the crisis of the cross. We see that Christ came and he died on the cross. He poured out his blood because we as sinful mankind needed a Savior. And Jesus died on the cross. He rises again from the grave, that we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and be saved. But Christmas is seeing the peace, and it's looking at the conflict of the cross. 1 Timothy 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." It's to remember, as Christians, this morning at the end of the gathering, we're going to take communion together. What are we doing? We're looking to the cross. We'll take communion and we'll pass out a cracker and a cup of juice. And the Bible says to take communion, this very important thing that we do, it's to remember the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. We stare right into the conflict and see Jesus died and rose again. The blood of the Lamb has defeated the dragon. And we now have peace with God because of the cross, that now when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus, not because we're good, because God is good. This is the peace that we have with God eternally. This is the Christmas we celebrate. And Simeon said, there are those that will fall and those that will rise. There'll be those who reject Christ and those who receive Christ. That's why as you keep reading, it says, for a sign that is opposed or a sign that is spoken against. Here we see there's the opposition of Jesus, that Christ died and rose again. And this causes conflict in our world. Why? Because the world rejects Jesus. In 1 John 3:13, it says, don't be surprised when the world hates you. Why? Because they hate Jesus first. The cross is going to bring opposition. The cross brings conflict. When we as Christians, right, we carry the cross, we represent Jesus, we live this life out, it is going to cause conflict in our world. Jesus, who brings peace, we're now called to be peacemakers. But we know we who are called to be peacemakers are going to face conflict. Yes, we have the peace of God, but we live in a world that rejects the sign of the cross. We live in the world, there's conflict against Christ, and we represent Christ. So don't let us be surprised when people reject the truth of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the life of Jesus. In our culture today, it seems like we're moving toward more and more that the Christian way is becoming more and more of a threat to our social life, to social order, as one said. That who knows in the future that maybe there's going to be, one pastor said, restrictions or exclusions because we represent Jesus. And the truth is, as the church, if you are a follower of Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised at this conflict. The Bible doesn't shy away from it. It says there will be conflict. But then as we read the scripture, like in Romans 5, I think this is helpful. Romans 5, 1, it says, since we have been justified by faith, this is talking about being saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just what we talked about. Because we're saved, we have peace with God. And then when you look at verse 3, it says, but we rejoice in our sufferings, which some could say, wait a minute, do we have peace or do we have sufferings? Which do we have? Well, we have peace with God, but here on earth, we know there's going to be sufferings, there's going to be struggles, there's going to be hardships. We live in a broken world. But the Bible says we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? In this conflict, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. And our endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Bible says in the conflict in our world that opposes Jesus and opposes us because we reject, there's going to be sufferings, but those struggles, those conflicts are used in a Christian's life to grow our character, to grow our endurance, to grow our hope, to grow our peace. Thinking about this, I thought, you know, in our church, I think of some of the older people in the church, and when I talk to some of the older people in the church, most of them have a great thankfulness for freedom in our country. The older people, there's more, normally many of them, they just have this great thankfulness for freedom. This thankfulness for peace, and thinking about that, I think they would say some of the young people, they don't have that thankfulness. And thinking about them, I think, you know why I think they have that? Because their dad was in World War II. Because they grew up in a time when there wasn't that peace. They grew up in the time when there was struggle and conflict, and now they've been delivered from that. It has strengthened them. Like, man, I sure am thankful for some of the things that I have. It moves them to this thankfulness. So I think that applies in our Christian walk as the Lord. As we all have conflict in our life, and we all have different conflict, the Lord uses those things to grow our character, to encourage us, to strengthen our hope, so that now when we come out of those things, we have more peace and more hope because we know the Lord is with us. We know in the storm he never left us, and it grows us. I see that in some of you in your character, like some of you have been delivered from addiction. And man, it has created this hope in you. You run after it. You see people who struggle, and you will give up time and whatever it is to go care for people because the Lord delivered you. You've seen the peace of that deliverance, and you so want other people to know that peace. Some of you have been delivered from abuse, or I think some of you have been hungry, and so the food bank's really important to you. Or you're delivered from homelessness, so somebody needs a house, you're going to figure out how to get them somewhere. There's many things on this list. But to see the conflict that we had, the Lord uses, he grows us in our hope, so that we may better point people to him. So this conflict, there's the conflict of the cross, there's a conflict around us. And then Simeon ends this thought. It says at the very end of the verse, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Studying this, I think this passage is pointing to an inner conflict that all of us have. An inner conflict that the Bible says we have a flesh, there is in us a want to do wrong, a sinful nature that rejects God and his ways and his truth. The Bible says all of us have this flesh. And those of us who've been saved and we've been delivered, right, we have salvation, we still have a flesh. There still is part of us, that flesh, that pushes us to sin. So here, this inner, as he said, for many hearts may be revealed. I like what Tim Keller said on this passage. He says, when you put your faith in Christ, many struggles are ended, or nearly so. The struggle to prove yourself, to find an identity, to have a meaning in life that can handle suffering, to find true satisfaction. All of these fights become resolved looking to Christ. However, a new set of struggles are touched. That we have this conflict in us that leads us to do wrong things, this fight in us that sometimes we fail and fall. As Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't want to do. The things I should do, I don't do. Paul gives us this thought into this battle. There's this inner conflict. So when we come to Christmas, we see the peace of God. I just don't want us to be disappointed and not see what it really is. We have peace through the conflict of the cross. The world around us rejects that cross. And there's going to be conflict with those who follow Jesus, is what the Bible says. And we know there's conflict in our heart that we must continually seek to be led by the Spirit so we don't give in to the lust of the flesh. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the one that consoles, the one that encourages, the one that comforts. And so when we think of Jesus coming, maybe this Christmas we'll think a little differently to think about the Prince of Peace came, but there was great conflict. And the Lord is with me and never will leave me nor forsake me, but I am in a conflicted world. And yep, and in me there is this flesh, there is conflict, but I have the Lord who gives me the strength to overcome. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and if you were honest, there's a big conflict in your heart right now. Maybe you're here, you've never accepted Jesus. The Bible talks about there's a great inner conflict. And what that inner conflict is maybe you're sitting here in that conflict, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and the conflict is, will I repent of sin and follow Jesus, or won't I? That's the great internal conflict. Will I hear about Christ and his love and the cross and his salvation and this new way of life, and I look at my life now and the heaviness and there's difficulty, but am I willing to repent of my sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? It's the great conflict. Can I tell you, I pray for you. Because maybe you've played the Christian game a while. Maybe you thought you said a prayer and everything's good, but you haven't followed the Lord. You don't trust the Lord. You lived your own life, and you've never put your faith and hope in Jesus. And maybe this Christmas, 2025, you'll see the baby Jesus for who he really is, the Savior of the world. And you will come to a place where you will humble yourself to say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sin. Jesus, save me. And you'll realize today it is not by your works, because they're not good enough. None of us are. And you will repent and humbly cry out, as Romans 10:9 says, you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. And today, you'll be saved. I hope in your conflict that you'll know right in your seat you can ask Christ to save you, and he will. May the next couple days, and it should last a lot longer than that, right? For our life to know that Christ is our consolation, that he is the Prince of Peace. We see the conflict of the cross. We know the conflict we live in. We battle the conflict in our heart. But we know truly what Christmas is about, that the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Savior, has come.